Harper Avenue and Harper Audio present Stay Where I Can See You, a novel by Katrina Onstad, performed by Courtney Patterson. Nothing would give up life. Even the dirt kept breathing a small breath. Theodore Rutke, Root Cellar. Gwen. I heard your news. Remember Gus from the bar? He sent me a link. I didn't believe it at first, but it was definitely you in the picture. Just with a new name. Older, but you. That's a lot of money. It's not quite right to say congratulations when it's only luck that you won and someone else didn't. It looks like we both left the city. I went north for a few years, and then I tried to find you. Did you ever try to find me? Hard to imagine you as a mother and a wife. I wonder if your husband knows what you were like before. I'm back in the city now. Come meet me. We should talk. I wouldn't want anyone to get hurt. I never wanted that. I wanted to say, also, that I did love you. Sometimes, over the years, I wondered if you knew, and if you ever loved me back. Summer. 1. Gwen. In black marker, the check read $9,961,176.80. Gwen cradled the left side and Seth the right. The check was the size of a twin bedsheet and as light. Gwen imagined walking toward Seth and folding it in half, then quarters, until they met in the middle. But part of the deal, she'd been told, was that she couldn't let go until the photos were done. So she stood far away from him, across the landscape of the check, trying to catch her husband's gaze. He was grim-faced and mildly squinting beneath his glasses, staring straight ahead. She recognized the expression from terrible moments in the car, swerving in ice and snow with the kids in the back seat, preserving all of their futures with only his reflexes. In the center of the crowd, Eli jumped up and down and waved. Next to him, Maddie nodded, frowning. Phones flashed. Gwen smiled too late. "Would you like to keep it?" asked a purposeful young woman in a blazer, and Gwen said, "The money?" The woman laughed and said, "No, the novelty check." "Oh, I don't think so." Seth excused himself to use the restroom. "Are you a lucky person?" a reporter asked Gwen. Gwen looked at him. She had never considered herself lucky or unlucky. She was ambivalent about magic shows and believed psychics were hucksters. But she had helped her daughter craft a dream catcher one afternoon when Maddie was small. She'd strung it by the kitchen window where it twirled calmly for years, its web and feathers gathering dust and light, hinting at something fantastic and unknowable. Then Maddie became a teenager and declared that white people with dream catchers were committing cultural genocide. Gwen took it down. "Of course I'm lucky," said Gwen, and the reporter snapped a picture of her with his phone.
"Very lucky," added Seth,
who was at her side again, his hairline damp. Gwen could picture him in the bathroom, looking in the mirror, splashing water on his face, holding on.
"Put your arm around her," directed the reporter.
Gwen thought about all the different winners who had been in this banquet room. The same lottery officials and photographers would show up for someone else next week. But this week, they were celebrating the Kaplans for the achievement of random good fortune. Still, Gwen knew that someone in the room, maybe many people, maybe most people, sensed that what the family deserved and what had happened were out of alignment. The lottery stories that people loved were both simpler and darker. Parents of an ill child in need of experimental medical treatment. The widower with a foreclosure notice nailed to his door. A waitress who picked the numbers based on her dead daughter's birthday. That was something to get behind. That deserved a lump in the throat. Theirs wasn't even a very dramatic amount, by certain standards, curtailed as it was just below the magic $10 million.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?